we need to become aware of it. For if we are not, it is as if we have no sense of feeling, as if we do not know that we have pain, that we do not know that something is piercing our body. Now, it is not our flesh that is unfeeling. It is our conscience. From the text. A big fault is like a finger bitten by a poisonous snake. We must cut off that finger without hesitation to prevent the poison from spreading and taking our life. In the I Ching, when we get the symbol of wind and thunder, it tells us that we have strong determination in reforming and are certain to succeed in doing so. End quote. A big fault is like being bitten on the finger by a poisonous snake. We should not hesitate to quickly cut off that finger. Why? If we do not cut it off, the poison will spread and we will die. This is just an example to show how determined we need to be to end all incorrect ways. When we are lethargic and listless every day, it is due to our karmic obstacles emerging. When we have numerous wandering thoughts, afflictions, worries, and find that nothing is going as we wish, it is due to our karmic obstacles arising. In Buddhism, we often speak of these karmic obstacles. What are they? They are nightmares at night when we cannot sleep. They arise when we do not have a regular pattern of living in our daily lives. When this happens, we need to earnestly reflect within, to be vigilant. If we are able to correct all of our faults, then our karmic obstacles will be eradicated. When we have fewer karmic obstacles, we will be filled with the Dharma, joy. We will feel light in body and mind without any burdens. To have fewer karmic obstacles means to have fewer afflictions, fewer worries. With fewer afflictions, our mind will naturally be pure and constantly give rise to wisdom. With wisdom, we will see and understand very clearly everything around us, whether affecting body or mind, whether regarding Buddhism or worldly matters. We need to have determination, need to want to be able to examine our motives and feelings, to find our faults and courageously correct them. In no way should we be afraid of doing this. I Ching, the Book of Changes, contains 64 combinations. Each combination has 6 explanations or predictions. The wind thunder symbol represents benefit and is concerned with resolution and determination. If we are able to make the resolution and have the determination to correct our erroneous ways, and to cultivate kindness. We need to do so, for then and only then are we able to receive true benefits. If we can immediately reform without hesitation, then we have done as the wind thunder symbol said we would. From the text. If we can follow the three ways of shame, fear, and determination to reform, then our personality will surely be transformed. End quote. In reforming ourselves, we need to have these three hearts of shame, fear, and courageous determination. To have a shameful heart is self-awakening. To have a respectful and fearful heart is to be conscience-stricken. Only when we have both of these do we give rise to a courageous and determined heart. To have this heart is to regret and reform ourselves. So knowing this, why are we unable to correct our faults? We do not yet possess a shameful and fearful heart. The courageous and determined heart arises from the shameful and fearful heart. If we do not know shame, then we are not afraid of being laughed at by others. So there is no incentive for us to cultivate kindness. How do we sustain these three hearts? Of all sutras, why do we choose the Infinite Life Sutra for everyone to practice? It is not that the rest of the sutras are not good. They just do not explain as perfectly as does the Infinite Life Sutra. It completely explains the matters, principles, causes, and effects. It is not too long. It is easy for modern people to practice, and it is the essence of all sutras. Our morning and evening ceremony recitation book is especially compiled for fellow practitioners at the Amitabha Buddhist Societies. Ancient virtuous people originally edited the older versions of the recitation book. So their versions were designed to cure the problems, the illnesses of their time. Thus, as expected, it was effective for them. However, our problems are different from theirs. Thus, we need to modify the morning and evening ceremonies. For the morning ceremony, we recite Chapter 6 of the Infinite Life Sutra in the hope of having the same mind, the same vow as Buddha Amitabha. For the evening ceremonies, we recite chapters 32 through 37. These six chapters explain the five offenses of killing, stealing, engaging in sexual misconduct, lying, and consuming intoxicants. The essence of these six chapters is the five fundamental precepts and the 10 bad conducts. They are causes. These chapters also talk of the five sufferings, which are the current sufferings we undergo, and of the five burnings, which include the retributions we will bear after our current lives. The consequences we undergo in the hell realms. As we recite these daily, they can help us to regret, reflect, and to reform. Reciting these chapters is essentially the same as reciting the repentance verse. After reading it, we need to be vigilant, to be awakened, to sincerely mend our ways, and to follow their guidance in understanding and in cultivation. We will gain benefit from this kind of recitation practice. Therefore, it is important for us to have the three kinds of hearts from the text. Just as the sun's rays shine on a thin layer of ice in the springtime, there is no need to worry about its melting. End quote. If we have these three hearts, we will immediately reform our faults. It is just like the ice in springtime. As the weather grows warmer, the ice grows thinner. When the sun comes out, the ice melts. It is the same with our wisdom. As it grows, our karmic obstacles will melt away. From the text. There are also three methods of practice to help us to reform. First is changing through behavior. Second is changing through reasoning. And third is changing from the heart. Since the methods vary, so do the results. For example, if I killed living beings in the past, I now vow not to kill again, starting today. If I was angry and yelled at others in the past, I vow now not to get angry, starting today. This is how a person changes through behavior and refrains from repeating a wrongdoing by vowing not to do it again. End quote. The commentary stated, generating a shameful, fearful, and determined and courageous heart is the cause of regretting and reforming. It shows us the three paths of behavior, reasoning, and heart. This details the methods of practice in reforming. Previously, Mr. Liaofan spoke of principles. Now, he tells us of the methods of practice. There are three general kinds of methods. These differ in levels, thus the results differ as well. First, let us talk about changing through behavior. When we are angry, we lose our temper and often yell at others. This encroaches upon using abusive language. We can change through behavior and refrain from repeating this wrongdoing by vowing not to do it again. This is to totally change through behavior, to find each and every fault and to reform them. At first, Mr. Liao Fan also changed through behavior. We see him accomplishing his 3,000 good deeds over 10 years. Taking this long to accomplish this amount of good deeds is really not that outstanding. The second time, he only took 4 years to accomplish the next 3,000 good deeds when he sought and attained a son. But that time was still fairly long. Truthfully speaking, the result attained was as sought, to change through behavior. In Buddhism, to change through behavior is abiding by the precepts. There are 8 schools in Mahayana Buddhism and 2 schools in Theravada Buddhism. However, both start their cultivation from abiding by the precepts. In other words, cultivation through behavior. This is especially true for the Theravada precepts, which emphasize behavior and the intention or the thought. This is different from Mahayana precepts, like those in the Brahma Net Sutra. This particular sutra was not completely translated into Chinese. It is a somewhat lengthy sutra, of which only the most important chapter, the mind precept chapter, which comprised of 2 rolls, was brought to China. The first roll explains the state of mind of a bodhisattva. The second roll explains the bodhisattva precepts and behavior. Truthfully speaking, what is important is the state of mind. The first section emphasizes changing from the heart, from the mind, to reform. The latter section emphasizes changing through behavior. Naturally, to change from the mind as well as through behavior would be the best way to reform ourselves. From the text. However, it is 100 times harder if we force ourselves not to do something than if we just stopped doing it naturally. If we do not uproot our faults, but merely suppress them, the faults will eventually resurface, even if we have temporarily stopped committing them. Therefore, the method of changing through behavior cannot help us to permanently rid ourselves of our faults. End quote. The root of our problems lies in our minds. If we only suppress our faults instead of eliminating them, they will simply reappear at another time, even if we have temporarily stopped committing them. Therefore, the method of changing through behavior is not permanent. It is not the best way, for it only treats the symptom. It is treating the head when we have a headache, treating the foot when our foot has pain. This leaves the root problem intact, not uprooted and eradicated. In other words, the behavior may seem all right, but the mind remains polluted. The outside seems all right, but within is not. From the text. We can try to reform by refraining from wrongdoings, by understanding the reason and principle behind why we should not do something. In the instance of killing, we can reform through contemplating that loving all living things is a virtue of heaven. All living beings love life and are afraid to die. How can I be at peace with myself by taking another's life to nurture my own? At times, animals were even cooked alive, such as fish or crabs. They may not have been completely slaughtered before going into the cooking pot. Such pain and suffering reach down into the very bones. How can we be so cruel to them? When we eat, we use all kinds of expensive and tasty things to nourish our bodies, enough to fill the whole dinner table. But once the meal is done, even the best delicacies will become body waste and be excreted. The result of our killing accomplishes nothing. Consuming vegetarian foods can fill and nourish us just as well. Why let our stomach become a graveyard and reduce our good fortune through the violation of killing? End quote. Here Mr. Liao Fan talks of changing through reasoning. We want to know the true reality, to think of its principles, its logic. Then we will naturally no longer have the heart to eat the flesh of another sentient being. Before, we were not clear on the reasoning and tried to do something very grudgingly. Trying to force ourselves to do something is extremely difficult. We will not be happy or willing and can end up painfully struggling with ourselves. Once we understand the principles, the logic, the reasoning, we can reconcile these problems. Thus, we need to constantly bear in mind that loving all things is a virtue of heaven. It is natural for us to do so. Especially now, even scientists are coming to understand this. Today, we speak of the natural ecological balance. This is the same as loving all living beings. Our ecological system is naturally balanced. If this balance is destroyed, all sentient beings in this world will suffer the consequences. Therefore, those who are wise will do nothing that will result in destroying our ecological system. Actually, of all the animals, humankind is the worst, for we are the most cruel, the most evil. tigers and poisonous snakes only kill when they are hungry. After their hunger has been satisfied, they do not even pay attention when other animals walk back and forth in front of them. This shows they killed from natural instinct. But it is different for humans. We have no need to kill. On the contrary, we slaughter at will. Few animals create negative karma. Think about it. The negative karma created by humans is unequaled by animals. When we consider this, we will realize that there is nothing in the six realms for us to be proud of. It is great suffering to fall into the animal realms. However, animals at least do not create negative karma. They are reducing theirs. If we do not practice Buddhism, when we have obtained a human body, then we have wasted this life. We commit wrongdoings daily. Animals reduce their karma. We create it. When their karma has been eliminated, they will emerge and be born into the three good realms. On the other hand, our negative karma has increased, and when it comes into fruition, we will fall into the three bad realms. They prepare to emerge from, we prepare to go into. What is there for us to be proud of? All these are simple truths. We need to understand them. We need to remember that all sentient beings are mortally afraid to die. When we kill them, it is because they were unable to resist. Talk about the weak being the prey of the strong. They had no way to resist. Unable to resist, were they willing? If not, then be assured that they will have resentment and anger. How will we be able to avoid revenge that will in turn breed further revenge? Once a fellow practitioner came to teacher and asked if there was any use in transcending the souls of aborted babies. He said, "No use. You think transcending them will change anything, will solve things?" The practitioner asked, "But if the child was born deformed or retarded, would it not undergo much suffering? Would it not be better to abort it?" Teacher replied, "We need to understand that bearing a deformed or retarded baby is bearing one who has come to demand payment of a debt. You owe a debt. By aborting the baby, are you not only allowing the debt not to be claimed, but you have killed him or her? In other words, the debt you owed in the past has now become magnified. In a future life, it will be terrible. Right now, scientists only see what is right in front of us. They do not know of cause and effect of the next lifetime. Cause and effect are connected in the three times of the past, present, and future. This is a terrible offense. The practitioner persisted, but the baby has yet to take shape. There have only been 2 to 3 weeks of gestation. Teacher said, no. When it comes to reincarnation, it has nothing to do with taking shape or not. Once it has reincarnated, it has found you. You have this affinity with it from the past. Whether it is repaying a gratitude or a grievance, demanding payment of a debt or repaying a debt, if the baby had come to repay a gratitude and you killed it, you would be returning kindness with ingratitude. It would become your enemy in the future. Perhaps it was a filial child, virtuous grandchild, come to repay kindness. But by killing, you have turned the baby into a mortal enemy. This is terrible. You are trying to accomplish a little merit by spending a small amount of money, thinking you can transcend this baby by erecting a plaque. Nothing is this easy. You are deceiving yourself. This is not the truth. Therefore, if everyone could just see that past cause and the resultant effort, it would be terrifying. We have to be careful. We have to understand the principles, have to know the true reality. It is a grave transgression to kill or to harm another sentient being, to nurture ourselves. However, today, people regard this as perfectly normal. Some religions even think that these animals were creations of a god given to them to eat. If these sentient beings were intended for us to eat, then would we not question whether God truly had the virtue of loving all living beings? This is wrong thinking, which leads us to commit many serious transgressions. And we do not even know how wrong they are. All sentient beings, when killed and slaughtered, cry out from their fear and their pain. When we listen to their terrified cries, how could anyone think they willingly submitted to their death? In affluent countries, factory farming has become the accepted way of supplying the large demand for the consumption of meat. It is the awareness of this that has become a major factor in many Westerners becoming vegetarian, myself included. Most people have an image of animals on a farm, gracefully grazing peacefully in sun-drenched meadows,
where there is an abundant supply of grass, space, and water. This is a dream from the past. It is not the reality of the factory farm today. Calves are raised in pens so small they do not even have room to turn around. They are purposely restrained so they will remain as fat as possible. They are slaughtered when they are only a few months old, when their flesh tastes the best. Geese are fattened by being force-fed with a tube thrust down their throat as the food is pumped into their stomachs. In the process, their throats can become ruptured, and the suffering is immeasurable. Chickens are raised in pens made of wire mesh. To keep them from moving and wasting energy, their feet are stapled to the bottom of the pens. Over innumerable lifetimes, we have been born as animals. Our parents, children, friends, those we love also have lived innumerable lifetimes as animals. The calf, the goose, the chicken we eat today could easily have been someone we loved in our last lifetime. We now eat their flesh. It is stated in the sutras, a human dies and becomes a sheep. A sheep dies and becomes a human. Life after life, they kill each other, seeking revenge. Thus it is said that if you eat 8 ounces of flesh, you will pay back 8 ounces. Of flesh. A debt of money must be repaid in cash, and a life owed must be repaid in kind. This is the immutability of the law of cause and effect. Once we truly accept and believe this, we will never again have a thought of harming any sentient being. Why? We do not want to pay back with our lives in the future. Nor do we want to seek ill-gotten wealth. Why? Because we know if we do, then in the future we will have to repay this debt as well. By understanding the true reality, we naturally will be able to abide by the law, be content with what we have, and be honest in everything we do. Be assured that this is neither passive nor regressive, but it is to do our best to create a beautiful and bright future for ourselves. It is to seek a good life, not only for this lifetime, but for all our future lifetimes as well. Without wisdom, and without knowing the true reality, we will not be able to attain what we seek. Mr. Liao Fan was speaking of eating animal flesh. We see sentient beings being killed. We see their pain and suffering, which reach down into the very bones. How could we bear to take their life to nurture our own? Besides, once we have finished eating, even the most delicious foods will become body waste. People long for delicacies, long for food that tastes good. But no matter how we cook it, the only thing that will know and enjoy the taste is our tongue. Nothing after that, just for a few seconds of enjoyment. We have killed countless sentient beings, have committed innumerable transgressions. Eating vegetarian foods can be just as fulfilling and nourishing. Some say that vegetarian food is not nutritious. Actually, many vegetarians have lived long and healthy lives. Many monks and nuns became vegetarians when they were very small and are very strong and healthy now. How can we say it is not healthy to be a vegetarian? All these are incorrect ideas. When we take the life of another sentient being and eat their flesh to nurture ourselves, we not only make enemies and incur their hatred for us, but we also reduce our own good fortune. A truly intelligent person would never do this. From the text. Think again of all the living beings with flesh and blood. Like us, they have a consciousness since they possess self-awareness. They and we are one entity. We can cultivate virtue and allow these living beings to respect and feel safe around us. How can we continue to harm them and make them hate us? If we think about it, we will naturally feel sorrow for these animals and be unable to swallow their flesh. End quote. All living creatures not only possess life, but have self-awareness. They are no different from us. From this segment of the text, it is logical to assume that Mr. Liao Fan's family have become vegetarians. For they understand the reasoning, and they now know the true reality. Nowadays, there are still some people that have the wrong ideas, thinking that adults can become vegetarian, but that it is not safe for children to do so. This thinking is incorrect. Actually, this is akin to thinking that the children might not have enough karmic obstacles, might have too few mortal enemies, so we should help them incur more mortal foes. This is what it amounts to. If we explain this to them, not only do they not believe, but they criticize, saying that we are out of touch, that we are ignorant of science and nutrition. In fact, this is not the case at all. They are mistaken. It is best to be awakened as early as possible. The younger children are in becoming vegetarian, the better off they will be. It will help them to build a solid foundation of good fortune and merit as the Infinite Life Sutra. And the Sutra of Good Fortunes and Misfortunes said, the ancestors were ignorant. The ancestors here are the elder generations. They have no wisdom. Thus, they lead us to unwittingly commit transgressions, creating much negative karma. Simply put, this matter is appalling, for the offense is indeed serious. From a text. Another example of changing is through reasoning, is the person who often gets angry. They need to stop and think that everyone has his or her individual strengths and weaknesses. According to my reasoning, if I touched on someone else's weakness, I should feel sorry for that weakness and forgive any shortcomings. If someone offends me for no reason at all, then it is that person's problem and has nothing to do with me. There is no reason for me to get angry. End quote.